to the book of James. James chapter 5. And we'll begin there. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago that I had spent some time walking in the woods with the Lord, where I love to walk with Him and talk with Him. And I walk with Him. I really do. And he was talking to me about a lot of things. But I wanted to talk about evangelism, and I couldn't get the Lord to talk to me about it. It was a very strange situation. I didn't understand. I didn't know why He wouldn't talk to me about it. He talked to me about other stuff. But I couldn't get Him to talk about evangelism. And then finally, as I had given up, I felt like He just wasn't going to give me any kind of revelation on it or any place to begin learning about it. I was walking out, and as I entered the clearing, He spoke to me, and He gave me a scripture. We'll probably look at that scripture today, but it was in the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 15, where it talks about the Pharisees. And it says that the Pharisees, they're interested in evangelism too. How many of you know that what the Pharisee is? Let me make sure that we understand what a Pharisee is. Pharisees are just as alive today as they were then. Pharisee is a religious person who tries to make you what he is or she is. A Pharisee looks right, talks right, dresses right, prays long prayers, fasts, gives tithes. But yet and still, they're going to hell. And Jesus didn't like them then, and He don't like them now. And they're still around, and you need to understand they're still around. And sometimes we are deceived because they look so good. And Jesus says, I'll tell you what. Let's just see what He said about it. Now, we'll read here in James in a minute. But if you'll look at, let's look at the book of Matthew. Hold your place, because we are going to read James. Book of Matthew. Chapter 16, verse 6. He said, he's with his disciples. And the way I see it is that they were riding in the boat and or whatever they were doing, and Jesus is just kind of off meditating. And he looks at them, and all out of the kind of the blue, he just says this, verse 6. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And the disciples didn't understand that. They thought that he was upset with them because they didn't bring some food to eat. And so they didn't really understand. And so they began to discuss it amongst themselves. And Jesus says, you just don't understand, do you? And I think that's the truth today. I don't think that a lot of us understand the effects that Pharisees have upon us. Because you see, once leaven gets in your life, the leaven of the Pharisee gets in your life, it's one of the hardest things in the world to get out of you. You're so bound up because you think it's religious. You think it's right. You think it's the right thing to do. But the whole time it's going to take you to hell. I really want to shock our thinking today. I want us to understand that everybody that preaches or teaches or it goes to church is not going to heaven. Because what the Pharisees would do is they would make people what they are, and Jesus clearly says that they're just going to make him twice the son of hell that they are. And I'll show you that in just a second. What will take you into glory is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and nothing short. You must know him. You must know him to the intent that his blood is upon you. That's pretty close. You are a blood brother or a blood sister with him. You have come into covenant with him. And nothing short of that, I don't care if you sing songs. It's like Wayne Williams says, if I stand in the pasture, it does not make me a cow. I can say I'm a cow, but just because I'm standing out in the pasture does not make me a cow. I can eat grass, and it still does not make me a cow. And Christians can go to church and read the Word of God and eat the Word of God, but it still does not make them a Christian. People can go to church. Now, let me say it right. People can go to church and eat the Word of God, but it doesn't make them a Christian. And you can be out in the cow, out in the field, and go moo, and it still doesn't make you a cow. And you can come here and sing songs. Our Lord is a firm foundation. You can dance. But it's not going to make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is believing in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, and having a personal, walking, talking relationship with your Lord. Because the Bible says if you believe in your heart that He's Lord and that God raised Him from the dead, and you confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. So, the Pharisees leaven people. And they make them what they are with their leaven. And they try to get into you what they are. And as I walked with the Lord and as I was talking with Him, that's the first thing He said to me. And boy, it was a lightning flash went off in my brain and my mind and my thinking. And all of a sudden, all this stuff started coming into me. And all of a sudden, I knew that where I had missed it, though my intent was right, I had always tried to make people what I was and said, "Father, I'm a good example. Look at my life." But Jesus says, "Don't go drink of Delbert." He says, "Come drink of me." Don't believe on me as Delbert's doctrine says. Believe on me as the Scriptures have said. And you see, the difference between a denominational system are a system that's operated by the Pharisees. The difference of them and a church that's really trying to go on with Him is a church that's really trying to go on with Him will be in constant change. And I know this simply because of this. If you are seeking after Jesus and you're reading His Word and you're trying to believe on Him as the Scriptures have said, will your life be in constant change? Do we change from glory to glory? We are constantly changing in Him. We're maturing. The book of John chapter 2 talks about how we were children. Then we're young people, young men or women. And then we become fathers and mothers in the Lord. We're changing into a realm of maturity. We're changing constantly. But a denominational type of a church or a Pharisaical type of a church has a doctrine that it changes people to. Have I relayed that? Do you understand? It can't change because this is what it has to do. It can't change the way it has praise and worship, or it can't change the way it does anything because its doctrine says this is what you do. And you conform to a doctrine and not to the Word or not to Jesus. And so a life that is after Him is constantly in change. A church that is after Him is constantly in change. And one thing we excel in here is change. Which is encouraging to me. I mean, you may come in next week and we may have the whole thing turned this way. That's just a little example. But we're in constant change because we're really trying to seek Him. But once that leaven gets into you, it makes you a hypocrite. It comes into you and it makes you something that you're not and will take you to hell. Now look at that in verse, that was verse 6. If you look down at verse 12, after He had explained it to them, sort of as I've explained this to you, then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You have got to learn, and then as we bring people into the kingdom of God, we have got to warn them to be very, very cautious about what they listen to. I'll be very, very cautious about what gets into them. Because once it's in there, you put leaven in bread, you put yeast in bread, tell me how you're going to get it out. And it's difficult. Once those things get into us. And He says, beware of it. And so as you bring people to Jesus, as you minister to people, one thing you've got to learn to do, and what I've got to learn to do, is be brass enough to say, beware of the leaven. Beware of what you're listening to. Beware of what people are teaching you. Make sure it's in the Word of God and not somebody's doctrine. Now, good doctrine is good. You need good doctrine. They stayed steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. But make sure that person is not under some Pharisaical system, but is well able to change, and his life changes and adjusts and goes on with God. Make sure of that. Beware. And so as I was walking in the woods, let's get back to the woods. As I was walking in the woods with the Lord, and these things began to hit me, I was seeing that I had taught praise and worship to praise like me. I had taught prayer to pray like me. I had taught these things to be like me, rather than directing people to Jesus. And so what the Lord, the first thing He says to me was that. Don't be a Pharisee. And He says, Delbert, you've got to realize that when people are convicted by My Holy Spirit, the Pharisees are after them. The Pharisees are after them, not to bring them to Me, but to make them what the Pharisee is. Now, I'm going to be talking probably about that over the next several weeks, Pharisees. And so it's just bubbling in me right now. Because I wanted to be accepted by the Pharisees. There was a time when I really got so tired of being accused of handling snakes and having a cult and all that stupid stuff they said about me, doing some sort of service that made women virgins again. Give me a Pentecostal break, right? Where's this stuff coming from? You know, where do they dig this? I mean, what is this? And I wanted them to know me that I didn't do those things and that I was okay guy. And somehow I wanted them to accept me. Jesus was really concerned about that, wasn't He? Will you Pharisees please accept me? Oh, He did. He said, you're a brood of vipers. Your mother was a viper. Your daddy was a viper. And you're a viper. You're a bunch of snakes. And what we've got to come to that place where when we're ourselves in our own lives, our children, it's very important that we protect our children and that we care about them and that we beware. We tell them, beware. Beware of the Pharisees, of the doctrine of people. Beware. Now, back to the book of James. As I was walking with the Lord, and as I was talking with Him, and as He was loving me, and He told me about the Pharisees and that they were after everybody. I don't care if you minister to somebody, there's going to be a Pharisee beside you that's going to try to get them to come to their church. And that's not wrong unless it's a Pharisee church. They're going to try to get that person. And then the Lord told me that, and He says, and I'm going to give you a revelation to help you. And He says, but if you take what I give you and make proselytes and try to make people what you are out of what I give you, I'll never speak to you again about this. He says, I'm going to give you a little revelation today. And I'm going to see what you do with it. And if you make proselytes, if you just use what I'm showing you to grow your church or to grow your ministry or to make people what you are, I will never speak to you again about this. And He'd already given me, I'd been begging Him for an hour to talk to me about it. And I knew He would. I knew He was very serious. And I couldn't understand why He wouldn't talk to me about it. And all of a sudden He tells me why He hadn't talked to me about it. He's afraid that we'll make them proselytes. Let me go ahead and you're still in James 5? Go to Matthew again, 23. We're going to read this verse. Matthew 23. Because I want you to see where I'm coming from and how in my spirit this is right now. I mean, this is a massive thing that's going off inside of me. Matthew 23, verse 15. Jesus is, what He's doing here is just before His crucifixion. I mean, He's going through this thing. This is His last week. I mean, He is there at the temple. He's in the temple, and they're coming against Him. They always did. They would just interrupt Him all the time. And then he just sells them. He just turns and he faces them and he says, "Woe unto you." I can see him with his finger stuck out. "Woe unto you, you scribe and Pharisee, you hypocrite." And what he does here, he gives seven different woes. There's eight woes if you'll read it, but there's seven of them that have the same thought. Or there's seven different thoughts here. But then verse 15, this is the third woe. "Woe unto you, scribes, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte." In other words, you'll go anywhere to get somebody else's sheep. You'll go anywhere to get a fish that somebody else has caught. You'll go anywhere to cause your ministry to grow. You'll do anything. And then when you get them, to make one proselyte, and when he is made, when you've made him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Now, let's go ahead. And the Pharisees were very self-righteous people. They fasted, they prayed, they read scriptures, they could quote scriptures. They paid their tithe. In verse 23 of this chapter, it says they paid tithes to the very cent. I mean, they had it figured out. They did all the religious stuff. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and Jesus told him, "You must be born again. You must come into a relationship with Jesus. You must have something go off inside of you that's not just religious, but is a relationship." And the difference is that these guys did not know God. They knew about, he was a head knowledge. They didn't even recognize Jesus. If he walked in, they thought he had the devil on him. And Jesus says to them, "You're going to go to hell." Now, well, let's make sure that we're there. Is this religious person, is this person that fasts, prays, knows the scriptures, pays his tithes, does Jesus here say that they're going to hell? And you've got to understand that there are some people, good people, that believe they're going to heaven that are going to bust hell wide open. Because they don't have a born-again experience. They don't know Jesus. And please hear me good today. I can't take you to heaven. You can praise, dance, worship, praise, everything, preach better than I. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. And we've got to get that in our mind. And what these people do is they're after your loved ones. They're after your parents, your children, your life, you. They're after everybody to make them sons of hell that they are. And we got to wake up to this. And I've always been a nice guy. And I've always never wanted to offend my brothers. Bull. And they talk about me like that. Brother Delbert. James chapter 5. Let's do what we're supposed to do today. Verse 29. Let him know. I'll let you know today, okay? 5:29. I want to let you know something. James says here to let them know something. Let them know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. James 5:20. Am I right? Okay. James 5:20. Let it be written. I say James 5:20. Okay. A couple of thoughts that the Lord gave me there. The word converteth means to change time and destiny. When you make a convert, when you save one soul, when you're used of God to minister to one person, when you make that, you've changed destiny. Because that person was going to death. Now, death in scriptures is not what you and I consider death. To you and I, death is the cease of breathing in oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide. That's what death is to you and I. That is not what death is in the scriptures. For he told Adam, he says, "Adam, the day you eat of this tree of good and evil, you're going to surely die." But Adam lived to be 900 years old. So what happened? He was released from the presence of God. He never experienced the presence of God anymore in his life. And what death is being away from the presence of God. And so what death here is in this scripture is an individual who was going to go to hell that you interrupted time and eternity. And you came in and you interrupted that. And now this person's not going to go to hell. This person's going to go to eternal life. Let them know that when they do this, they have converted one person. You've interrupted somebody that was going to go to hell. You've interrupted that. And now you've changed that thing until they'll be eternally with Father. They'll have life eternal. And you've covered a multitude of sins. No judgment. Another thing a church should always do is preach the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us from our sins. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that brings us into covenant. He says, "This is the new covenant in my blood." That's why we have communion. We drink all that cup. He says, "Drink ye all of it." We've got to learn to drink all of the Bible. All of the scriptures. All of the covenant. We've got to learn how to understand this thing. Learn to make it applicable to our lives. I was at a place, and goodness gracious, I was at a place last week, and I was saying, "Lord, do this for me." I said, "You can do this. I know you can do this." And the Lord says, "Yeah, I can do this." But that's not how it works, and you know that's not how it works. You see, the wisdom, Delbert, that I've given you is to understand how things work. And then to change your life and adjust what you do to how they work. Rather than trying to take something and adjust it to the way you want it to work. And James says, if you lack wisdom, what? Ask of God. God, how does this work? How does a marriage work? How does raising children work? How does having finances work? And that's what he's simply saying. And we've got to come to the revelation that we can really understand how things work. And what I was asking him to do is a very carnal thing. And asking him to do something, change something, the way he had it set up, the way it worked, and change it and bless me. And that's worldly. And what we've got to understand is we have the book. We have the instruction manual. Here's how it works, Delbert. And if we save, we convert one soul. We've saved that person from going to hell. And we brought them into eternal life. And so what I felt to do today was to give us a picture of hell. So if you look with me in the book of Luke 16. I don't preach a lot about hell. But because I don't preach about hell, does that make hell non-existent? I'm not planning on going there. But what the scriptures clearly teach me is there's a day coming when I will be in the arms of God and I'll look across the great chasm and I'll see people that are there. And some of those people will be people I know that I had an opportunity to minister to them, to save them from hell. And I didn't. And to some people, this could be their father or their mother or their daughter or their son. And what we've got to learn to do is that there's a real hell. We've got to understand it. And we've got to ask God to show it to us. In the realm of the Spirit, I hope. And so he paints us one here. He gives us one. And again, if you look at verse 14 in Luke 16. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Now, I wanted to know what that meant, so I looked it up in the Greek. And it means to sneer outright, to mouth at, to bellow. Can you get the picture? Here's Jesus teaching, and all of a sudden people start sneering outright. They start mouthing at him. They start interrupting what he's trying to do and say and minister to his people. I've had that happen. I've been just preaching away, preaching my little heart out, just doing the best I could, and somebody just interrupted me. I'm telling you, this is a bad thing. And the Pharisees were doing this. And so he says, let me just show you a picture of hell. And in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. He was so poor he couldn't get medication. He was so poor he couldn't see a physician. He was a very poor person. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. We're going to get to heaven. We're going to get to this place of glory. And there's going to be this vision that we're going to be able to look into hell. And there's going to be a part of us that's going to say, I wished I could go and help them. I wished, boy, if I had just known it was that bad. If I had just really realized, if I had just really believed that that place really existed and there was a real torment. If I had just talked to that person, if I had just went to that person one time, if I had just ministered evangelistically to that person and just told them about Jesus just one more time, maybe they wouldn't be there. There's going to be a desire within our heart to go across that chasm and to try to bring that person, but we won't be able to. I did a funeral for a man, and his son had asked me to preach the funeral. And you're always interested as a pastor, does the person know Jesus? The person you're about to put in the ground, do they know Jesus? Did they know Jesus? Because it makes a tremendous difference on how you minister, you know, how you share. It is either a joy or a tremendous sadness. And he says, I don't know. Well, what does that tell you? If you don't know, if you know Jesus or not, you don't know Jesus. If you're close to somebody, if your father, I know my daddy knows Jesus. And I would know if he didn't. Did your dad know Jesus? I don't know. He's hoping that he did. He was hoping that something happened somewhere along the way that his dad would not be in hell. But to the chagrin of this man, one day, when he goes to heaven, he's going to look across. And he's going to see his dad tormented by the flames of hell. And he's going to say, if I had just went and talked to Dad, if I had just went and ministered to him one time. And he's going to want to go. But it's too late. There's a great gulf fixed, and you can't cross. And neither can they come over. Because there's going to be people that are in hell that are going to say, boy, if I had just believed, if I had just taken that opportunity, had I really known that this place was real, I wouldn't be here now. I would have accepted Jesus. I would have applied the blood to my life. And I would have changed everything. But it's too late. They can't come across. And you and I are going to be there. There's going to be bank tellers. We should have witnessed to about Jesus. There's going to be friends that we should have witnessed to about Jesus. There's going to be loved ones that we should have witnessed to about Jesus. And we're going to watch them burn. Do you know, they show these televisions, I've never seen this happen. But can you imagine being in an automobile and seeing an automobile wreck? And the cars explode and people are in there. And they're burning. And they're yelling and they're screaming. And you can't get to them. There's nothing you could do. But had you known it was going to happen, or had you been able to get there earlier, you could have stopped the wreck or stopped the accident from happening. It's too late. The rich man finally says, listen, I have, verse 28, for I have five brethren. I have five brothers who don't know Jesus. Could you let Lazarus go back and tell them? No. It's too late. It's too late. And what he's really talking here is to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he says, if they didn't believe the prophets, if they didn't believe Moses, they're not going to believe anything. And there are some of those people. I'm telling you, they're Pharisees, or some Pharisees are going to go to hell because they will not believe that we've got to believe on Him as the Scripture has said. They think that by going to church every Sunday, they're going to be saved. They think that by paying their tithes, they're going to be saved. They think that by preaching the gospel, they're going to be saved. But if they don't have a relationship with Him, they're going to hell. And they're going to take a lot of people with them. And what I'm trying to communicate to you today, what I'm trying to communicate to you today, is it's vital what we believe, folks. It's vital that we don't follow no man. There are examples to the flock. Sure there are. I'm an example to the flock. But He always said you need to know Jesus. Because without Jesus, we'd all go to hell. You got to have a relationship with Him. You got to believe that He's Lord. You got to believe and talk and walk with Him. You got to believe that He's real. And so as I finish up today, do we believe this? Do we really believe Luke chapter 16? Do we believe this? And so I asked myself this morning as I was preparing, and I said, Delbert, do you really believe this? And do you know what? Being as honest as I could possibly be, my heart believes it. In my heart, I know there's a hell. I mean, I do. My mind won't receive it. My mind says this is a fairy tale. My mind has that flesh guard over it that wards off all the spiritual things. But my heart knows it's real. My heart knows there's a place called hell. And that there's going to be a lot of religious people there. There's going to be a lot of people that never received Jesus there. There's going to be people that don't know Him. And they'll burn eternally. And those of us that do go into heaven and sit in the Lord's arms, we're going to be able to look across this great gulf fixed and see those people that we had opportunity to convert and cover their sins and save them from death. But we didn't. Bow our heads, please. Today you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know Him, and you know in your heart. If you don't do something different, you're going to hell. You don't have to. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you have to confess it before man. The Bible says, he that confesses me before man, I'll confess before the Father, and I'll write their names in heaven. You don't know Him. Or you thought you knew Him one time, but you got away. You don't know Him. You haven't walked with Him in a long time. You haven't talked with Him in a long time. You don't know Him like you want to know Him. Or you know Him, but you really do want this reality of hell to be birthed into you. Because you want to get up every morning, and one thing that you want to say before you put your shoes on is, who do I talk to Jesus today about? Who do I talk today about Jesus? Number one, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never believed that He was the Son of God and confessed that with your mouth before men. If that's you today, you need to do that. Would you raise your hand and just say, I need Jesus in my life. I do not want to go to hell. Number two, you've gotten away. You don't know Him like you want to know Him. You don't know Him like you want to know Him. You haven't walked and talked and been with Him in a long, long time. You want that renewed. You don't want to be leavened by the Pharisees. You don't want anything to pull you out. I want your eyes open, please, for a second. I want to give you an illustration. Jody, come here. Stand up in the chair. This is an illustration that Wayne Williams gave to us. Please, stand up. All right, now Jody's up in the spirit realm. Okay, he's in the spirit realm. He's higher than I am. And he's wanting to minister to me. So we're spending a lot of time together. Now, I want you to pull me up there where you're at. Your desire was to pull me up there, wasn't it? And see, in the spirit realm, we always do that. Stay right there. In the spirit realm, we always do that. We want to pull each other up. But folks, I'm telling you, you hang around people that are down, you're coming down. It's easier to pull you down than it is to pull one up. Come here, Jim. You get up here with him. Stand up there again, please. Both of you get up there. All right, now, you guys are ministering to me. Jesus sent them out two by two. Right? There's a reason. You guys, pull me up. Okay, you see? A little harder. But it's still, you got to be careful who you hang with. Get up there, please. Lance. Okay. Yeah, I know it. Well, see, that this is the point. This is the principle. Now, how many knows? I'm going up. A threefold cord is hard to break. Am I right? And what we've got to learn from this illustration is, folks, you better hang around with people that are up. And you better hang around with people that are up in the Spirit, because if you want to ascend and you want to go on in God, don't hang around people that are down, because you're coming down. Pull me up. And I was honestly not trying to go up. I mean, I was really... I mean, they snatched me up. You see the point? So understand that, folks. Understand that maintaining a level in the spirit realm is dependent upon who you're with, who you're receiving from. And if a Pharisee is pulling on you, you're coming down. But if you get people in the spirit that are united and together, you're going up. You're going on. Heads bowed. You got away from Him. You want to renew that relationship. You want to come back to Him. Be pulled up into the Spirit. Caught up into Him like John was on the Isle of Patmos. You want to see things and have open visions and walk with Him and hear His voice and love Him and let Him speak to your spirit and change your life. Give you revelation. You want that. Lift your hand up. I want to pray for you. Amen. Hands everywhere. 4, 5, 6 hands. Amen. Amen. I want to pray for you. You guys come up here first, please. All of you that lifted your hands. Even if you didn't lift your hands, come on up. If you just didn't lift your hands, but yet those things apply to you. I want you to come up. See, things in life pull us down. Things in life are always pulling us down. That's why it's so necessary to hook to those that are up in the Spirit. Paul says this. He says, mark those that cause divisions among you and avoid them. Why? Because they're going to cause divisions in you. They're going to pull you down to where they're at. Mark them and stay away from them. Now, when they get up, then it's fine. But until that time, man, you avoid them. There's a real principle that's being released here today. I hope you're hearing. Amen. Amen. Father, we're coming to you now. Lord, I can't do anything. All I can do is say what you've told me to say and do the best I can to minister. So, Lord, what I want to do, Lord, is your spirit to be released, that your spirit can minister. Father, I ask you now by your spirit, do something. Do something, Lord. I don't want to be Pharisaical. I don't want them to try to be what I am. Father, I want them to know you. I want them to know Son. I want them to know Holy Ghost. I want them to have a relationship with you. And I ask it now in Jesus' name as I lay hands on them, Lord. Impart, Lord. Anoint. Take, Lord God, your spirit and stir something in them Lord God, let us have a revelation today of hell. And that, Lord, somebody is dependent upon us. Somebody is dependent upon us from avoiding those flames of fire. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Father, I release right now in Jesus' name an anointing. Father God, a fire of God. I turn it loose in Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, in Jesus' name, I release an anointing. Father God, I release an anointing, Lord, that she will have a relationship with Jesus. She'll walk with Him, talk with Him, have open revelation in Jesus' name. Father God, I bless LaRue. Father, I stir up the kingdom of God within her. Father God, I pray, Lord God, that You continue to minister to her. Lord, You have brought her rapidly to a place that Lord God, she has set her face as a flint. And Lord, she's going on with Jesus. She's going on with Jesus. Nothing is going to pull her down. Lord, she's understood the principle and she's understood how You work. And so, Lord God, she's going on now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I bless Chris. Father, I bless him right now. I stir his heart and spirit up. Father God, that he will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. Lord God, he will convert many. And that, Lord God, he will be used mightily in the kingdom of God. Father, I ask You to take Your angels now and keep all the Pharisees away from him. Father God, that he'll have a pure word. He'll have a pure ministry. That he'll be able to read the word of God and have revelation that You show him, Lord God. Not some doctrine of men. Some denomination is put upon him. But Father God, he'll be free of leaven. Free of leaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Lord, I stir it and release it in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask You now to do in Joyce, Lord, things that You've never done before. Father, she loves You. She walks with You. She talks with You. She knows You, Lord God. Father, I pray that there's just an understanding and a revelation and an uplifting, Father God, that she's pulled up and not down. That, Lord God, she'll concentrate on the things of heaven and not of earth. That, Lord God, she goes forth mightily. Lord God, that she's a light and salt and a witness of Jesus. And in His name, Lord, I release an anointing and I release these words. Amen. In Jesus' name. Father, I bless Larry right now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask You now in Jesus' name, Lord, that there'll be a place that he'll come into You. Father, he's ascended high in the heavens, but Father God, things have pulled him down. And Lord God, I rebuke those things, the devil, in Jesus' name. And I remind him that if it shook, it's not the kingdom, and it was supposed to come down anyway. So Lord God, now I release it in the name of Jesus, an anointing upon him. Father God, that there's a new door opening. There's a new light shining. There's a new avenue. Larry, I just see you that you've been going down the road, and all of a sudden you're like taking a right. I mean, you've changed courses. There's been a mighty change of course. And Jesus is down there. Jesus is down there. Bless Him, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, I stir David. I release, Lord God, an anointing upon him. Father, I ask You, Lord, that You will take his charisma. You will take, Lord God, the genuineness, Lord, that he projects. That, Lord God, he will be able to speak to people and save souls from hell. Father God, there'll be a conversion aspect within him. That he will look at this person and he'll say, I need to save this person from hell. I need to be used of God to snatch this one out of the fires and flames of hell. So, Father, I ask You now in Jesus' name, You'll release it in Jesus' name. Father, I pray too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord's going to provide for you some places in the near future where you just be alone with Him. And He's going to make Himself so real to you. He's going to start speaking to you and you'll know. You'll know that it's Him. Amen. I release it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless Him, Jesus. Bless Him, Jesus. All right. For everyone else that really wants, here's the thrust of the message today. That we do not want any longer to be a Pharisaical place. We don't want to go and witness to people just to get them to come to Church of Lafayette. We want to go and witness to people so that we can bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care where they go. Amen? If we plant, we're going to reap. And what we need to do is bring people into it. But we need to warn them, beware of the Pharisees. Whenever we're ministering, beware of the... Jesus did it. It's okay if you do it. Learn of Him as the Scripture has said. If you'll just learn of Him as the Scripture has said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And He spake of the Spirit which had not yet been given because He's not yet been glorified. But it's given now. And out of your belly, when you learn of Him as the Scripture has said, then out of our bellies there's going to flow a river. And it's going to come forth. And so your desire today... Is any Pharisee thing that's in you, you want a prayer put upon you, that's gone. That you're just interested in directing people to Jesus. That He's got to be lifted up. It's not the Church at Lafayette. It's not our praise. It's not the way we do things. It's not the liberty that God's given us. That's not what we want to draw people to. We want to draw people to Jesus. Don't come drink of my doctrine. Come drink of Him. And that's what we want. Amen? So that's you. And you want this, that any Pharisee thing broken in your life, that we'll go forth now as a church that's interested in converting people to Jesus. If that's what you desire, then come down. Let's all pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.